Gleanings from the Psalms, Chapter 138, Psalm 92, Cedars which the Lord planted. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Among the famous trees of the world, the cedars of Lebanon occupy a prominent place. The scriptures have made the name a familiar one, even to those who have never seen the tree growing. Yet a lack of knowledge of the characteristics of this noble creation of God keeps many from deriving all the comfort they should from the likeness of it to the righteous. To most people the words convey no idea beyond the mere fact that God's people are likened to a tree of some sort. A little study of it will serve to make the scripture comparison more vivid to our minds. It is a very common thing in scripture for people to be likened to trees, and even called trees. So when the likeness is to particular trees, as the palm tree and the cedar, we may be sure that some special feature is designed to be made prominent. The very name of the cedar tree is significant. The Hebrew name is derived from a root meaning compact, firm, applied specially to a tree that has firm roots. The English word cedar, which is only the Greek name, kedros, transferred, is undoubtedly derived from the Arabic kedr, worth or value, or from kadrat, strong. Thus the name is descriptive, since the roots of the cedar are very strong. The power of the roots may be gauged by the top, it being doubtless well known that the underground branches of a tree practically correspond in extent to those above. The diameter of the area covered by the branches of the cedar is sometimes nearly twice the height of the tree. So it will be seen that the roots must be very strong, and must have an exceedingly firm hold on the sod, to keep the tree from being blown down by the fierce gales that sweep the mountain sides where it grows. Even so it is with the righteous. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. The righteous shall not be moved forever. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. The winds of adversity and the storms of persecution may beat upon him, but they cannot overthrow the one who is rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith. He is like the cedar of Lebanon, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This last likeness is not far-fetched, nor is the scripture inapplicable, for the cedar has abounded in the work of the Lord. From the durability of the wood it was of old in demand for building, and it was the principal timber used in the building of Solomon's temple. So the children of God, his temples, are to be enduring. Lamartine tells us that the Arabs regard the cedar trees as endowed with the principles of continued existence, and with reasoning and prescient powers, which enable them to prepare for the changes of the seasons. So indeed they have, yet not of themselves, but from the life of God, which makes them what they are, and even so it is with God's human temples. The life of God in them preserves them from destruction, and makes them prudent, and the prudent man foresees the evil, and hides himself. The following paragraph from an article by an old-time writer on the magic of nature serves to justify the idea of the Arabs just referred to. The provision made by nature to defend the cedars of Lebanon from the heavy snows which fall upon the mountain is among the convincing proofs of a protecting providence with which the vegetable creation abounds. The branches of the tree, which is of great magnitude, shoot out horizontally at equal distances, in rows from the base to the top of the tree. The branches would inevitably be crushed by the weight of the snow, were it not that, when winter is setting in, and all through the severe season, they change their position, and, becoming erect, embrace the body of the tree, and thus prevent the snows from resting upon them. The timberwork of Cordova Cathedral, built 1100 years ago, is composed of cedar, as are the roofs of many other ancient buildings. So we need not wonder that Pliny said that the wood of the cedar is everlasting. Even so, the righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. What else could be expected than that they who are built together for a habitation, for the everlasting God, should themselves be enduring as eternity? But the wood of the cedar is not merely enduring in its nature. It has the property of preserving other objects. The oil of cedar, distilled from the wood, was used by the ancients for preserving their books from moths and damp. And even now drawers of cedar, or chips of the wood, are employed to protect furs and woolen stuffs from injury by moths. Thus it is with the righteous. The presence of a single righteous man has often saved the lives of many people who knew not the Lord nor the way of salvation. But more than this, the man who is filled with the spirit of life from God must unconsciously diffuse that life, and impart it to others. The odor of his righteousness pervades his associates, so that, unless they put up a barrier between themselves and him, they will through his influence become like him. This preservative, cleansing power was symbolized in the ceremony of purification from leprosy and other uncleanness. Cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop were used for sprinkling the blood and the water of separation upon the one to be cleansed. This may teach us that, as the righteous are like the cedar, they are to be used by the Lord in his great work of salvation. Being saved, men are used to save others. To all who believe, God's people are a savor of life, even as Christ himself, for they are sent in his stead, commissioned to do his work. And God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. As he is, so are we in this world.